Support for this episode of Pwned and the following message come from New Harbor Security. New Harbor Security is your end-to-end provider of security services and security solutions. If you're looking for smart security solutions for your business and a security partner that actually gives a visit us at www.newharborsecurity.com. Do you do business in Ohio? Does your business hold data about the residents of Ohio? If so, Ohio's Data Protection Act might be of interest. It was passed in November of 2018, and it's slightly unique to other data privacy standards and data security standards. So let's get into it. Hey, it's Justin. We're going to be diving into this one and more on this week's episode of Pwned. This is Pwned, a weekly show about questions I hear from security professionals, security engineers, and CISOs, and stories about how they're protecting their organizations. This show answers questions about all things information security, from technology to security frameworks to best practices and how-tos. If you live in Ohio, you've probably already heard of the Ohio Data Protection Act. It was passed in August of 2018 and went into effect as of November 2018. What's unique about the data protection law is that it's unlike recently passed privacy legislation recently seen in California and Colorado. And what's unique about this Ohio law is that it does not rely on punitive measures as a means to enforcement. Rather, it offers businesses the ability to self-select secure behaviors in a form of voluntary actions in order to receive what's considered a safe harbor. So before we get into safe harbors, let's talk about covered entities and who's in scope for this Data Protection Act. The Data Protection Act applies broadly to any businesses that access, maintains, communicates, processes personal information, or restricted information. Restricted information is generally considered any information that is unencrypted about an individual that can be used to distinguish or trace an individual's identity. So you can kind of think of this as unencrypted PII. If you were to collect this information, could you reasonably trace this back to a named individual? What's also unique about this law is the ability for businesses to qualify what's considered safe harbor. A business must create, maintain, and comply with a written security program that reasonably conforms to one of the industry's several recognized cybersecurity frameworks. Some of those include the NIST Cybersecurity Framework, NIST Special Publications 853 and NIST 800-171, FedRAMP, ISO 27001, HIPAA, Payment Card Industry Standard, so the data security standard for PCI, as well as some others. Most importantly, the entity's cybersecurity program must be designed to protect the security and confidentiality of personal information and protect against any anticipated threats or hazards to the security or integrity of personal information. And three, protect against unauthorized access to and acquisition of the information that is likely to result in the material risk of identity theft or other fraud. Now, the purpose of this Ohio law is to provide covered entities with an affirmative defense in data breach claims based on tort law. By invoking the affirmative defense, covered entities may refute liability in certain lawsuits that claim a business's failure to implement reasonable information security measures resulted in a data breach. The safe harbor has several limitations, however. For a business to invoke the affirmative defense in a lawsuit, the claim must arise under tort law, be brought under Ohio law or in Ohio courts, and allege that failure to implement reasonable information security controls resulted in a data breach concerning personal information or restricted information. Now, as you think about designing your security program and you think about choosing which security framework is relevant to you, your cybersecurity program under Ohio's data protection law must be designed to, one, protect the security and confidentiality of personal information, two, protect against any anticipated threats or hazards to the security or integrity of personal information, and three, protect against unauthorized access to and acquisition of the information that is likely to result in the material risk of identity theft or other fraud. Now, a key point in the law is that it requires reasonable compliance with one of the frameworks that I listed earlier. The Data Protection Act also allows covered entities to tailor and scale and scope their cybersecurity program according to their own business needs. In selecting the appropriate security program, businesses or entities should also consider the size and complexity of their business, the activities that their business actually conducts, the sensitivity of personal information that it processes, the cost and availability of tools to improve cybersecurity, and the resources available to the business in order to operate said frameworks. Now, Ohio is not the first state to pass legislation governing the implementation of written security programs. Some other states that have done this in the past include Massachusetts and New York, and have required businesses that handle personal information to maintain a written information security program, or a WISP. However, what's unique about Ohio's Data Protection Act is that it's a voluntary in its approach, and it is different from the other programs that tend to rule with a hammer and offer punitive damages for noncompliance. That's all I have for this week, and we'll catch you later. Thanks for listening to the show this week. If you want to learn more, listen to previous episodes, or snag some show notes, you can go to my website at justinfimlay.com, and you can reach me on the website contact form, or you can direct message me on Twitter at justinfimlay. Please also subscribe to the show at Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your podcasts. And please give us a 5-star rating because your ratings help to make the show possible. Thanks.